broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson. This is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined by
Lucas Williams.
And Lucas, how is your day going so far?
It's going all right. It's still raining outside, but overall, not too bad.
Yeah, this weather, that's kind of the topic of today's Coaches Show. A lot of games for both baseball and softball, which is, our main topic. But a lot of games rained out. So, looking closer at the schedule, this week, one of the games that was actually played, the girls played Elwood here at home. So tell us more about that game, Lucas.
Well, that game ended up with a mercy rule, actually.
Ooh.
The Arabians won 10-0 against the Panthers. So by the time they got to the fifth inning, the game was already done. But looking a little bit deeper, there was only one home run that entire game, and it was from Kelsey Day, the senior, who also has another home run of this season. So overall, not too bad.
Yeah, it is their second mercy rule of the year, only playing about six games so far. And they are 3-3. One of the big topics that I've talked about it on a broadcast with Michael, I think I've talked about it with you, is they're playing very good teams. And that's what you want to do. Your record doesn't always show you. And I think that works for the Lady Arabians. They're 3-3, but they played a great Westfield team. They played a great Lake Central team that was in the Horseshoe Classic Championship. So, they unfortunately fell to them, but having two mercy rules so far this year, I'll take that definitely if I'm Coach Davis.
Yeah, something weird with softball and baseball is with their records and just playing different opponents, it's just very random. Like, the scores don't really, they don't
you
really
can't
portray
predict it.
Yeah, you can go and mercy rule someone, and then literally the next day, you can lose by 5.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with something like basketball, it's a little closer together. There's a lot more scoring. It really, shows what your team is. But with softball and baseball, it's just very random.
I think it's very in the moment, too. Because, if, let's say, you're playing on Tuesday and you're not really feeling it, you could lose by 10. Or the next day, you feel a little better, the team's a little more energized, you can win by 10. So, like you said, too, it's just random. But moving on to baseball here, they were supposed to play their next game versus LaPel. Me and Lucas have a little history with that game. So we were supposed to be on that broadcast. It was raining the whole time. Didn't know if it was going to get canceled. We get there. We get to their nice little press box thing. And we set up. And then we unfortunately have to go home. It rained. We were both soaked. That was not fun.
So with that game, it was not great at all.
Yeah.
By the time we got there back to the school, about to leave, we already had to walk over to the baseball parking lot. Already all wet.
Yep.
Go all the way over there, get into the press box, and it's raining. You can already tell you're like, this game is not going to be played.
I haven't been able to wear my Converse for 3 days.
Man, that's a real struggle. I haven't been able to wear my Jordans.
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't wear them.
Yeah, trust me, I check the weather. I don't want the suede to get all ruined. Whatever, let's get back.
Yeah, moving on. Softball was supposed to play Alexandria. This is county week for them. With the baseball, too, it is also county week. But that game got pushed back to Saturday. Unfortunately, we are recording this on a Friday. So we don't know the outcome of those county games, but I know the boys are playing some, so are the girls. So this weekend will be a busy weekend for Pendleton Heights baseball and softball. So there's a lot of good matchups, too.
Yeah, what sucks is that both of those games were, pushed back, and I was supposed to be on both of them.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to do a lapel on Thursday. Wait, was it Thursday or Wednesday?
I have no clue.
Well, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back to Thursday, and now it's pushed back to the week, and I was also supposed to do Alexandria. So, but that's just how the cookie crumbles. That's weather for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, baseball and football, you're probably going to play. But when we get to softball season, baseball season, totally different can of worms. But moving on a little bit, Track and field. Like I said, we are recording this on a Friday. Later today, they have a meet, so you can probably check back to the athletic page, see how they did individually, how their results. I know later this coach's show, Braden, he's going to talk to some track and field throwers. So, again, a lot more exciting things. A lot of moving parts here at the high school, especially with, I mean, the recent bad weather we've had. There's a lot of things you got to keep track of and a lot of very exciting things, too, because both baseball and softball are heating up.
Yeah, once you get to the spring season, everything just kind of shifts around. There is not, when you look at a date and you're like, oh, this game's going to be played then.
Yeah.
There's a good chance it might not be. And as you said, with football and basketball, I mean, those games are pretty much going to be played no matter what.
Yeah.
Especially basketball. There was one game
that was
pushed back a day because it snowed so much.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That was funny.
So, I mean,
yeah.
But with softball and baseball, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's just that time of the year. But that will wrap it up for our opening segment. Stay tuned, though, because when we come back, Ryan will talk to some baseball players about, you know, how baseball season's going, how the rain delay has been working, such on and so forth. But stay tuned for more. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM on the ASN Coaches Show.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style, located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, providing women, men, and children's haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, and more. By phone, 765-400-5323. On Facebook and Twitter, or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to tonight's ASN Coach Show. I'm Ryan Davis, and joining me here is Mason Saxon and Braden Stevenson of the Pendleton Heights varsity baseball team. So what positions do you guys play for the team?
I play catcher and I pitch.
I play center field and first base.
So what is the toughest part about you guys' position?
Mine is for sure like making sure everybody's in place and keeping the ball in front, because in Indiana, it's very, like, the fields get very wet, so the ball, you don't know where it's going to go. So you really have to focus in and kind of stay on top of the ball.
And center, just probably the communication factor of it. Like, there's only two other outfielders, and you guys are pretty far away. So when there's a ball in the gap, you guys got to really communicate and know where you need to be, and then backups for the infield when there's bunt coverages or whatever the case may be. You just got to be able to back up and know the other two outfielders are doing their job too.
So what does a daily practice look like for you guys?
So we always do some sort of like team defense, then we go into like some base running segment, then we normally end off in some BP rounds based on like who we're facing that week.
So what is this part about baseball? Is it the defensive side or is it the batting side?
I definitely say the batting side because, you know, you can get in your head sometimes guessing pitches and everything, but I just feel like it's definitely the harder side.
Yeah, it's tough, and especially in high school baseball, you got 3 to 4 games a week depending on the weather, and you can see 3 to 4 different pitchers with 4 to 5 different pitches. And, like, for example, yesterday we're going to play and see a pretty decent pitcher, and then if we were going to play today, it was going to be someone completely different. So you never know. You just got to be able to stay ready and stay focused.
So the baseball team is majority juniors, so how much does that help when you guys have been playing with the same people for so long?
Our chemistry is definitely really good, and I feel like our dugout culture and our energy, even with the seniors, since we came in as freshmen, I feel like our culture and our just chemistry is really good, and we bond together really well.
Yeah, and when someone's having an off night, you always, like, since we've been playing together so long, you know how to get to them and, like, try to get the best out of them. Like, some people you got to be hard with and be in their face about it, and some people you just let them play because they're going to figure it out on their own. You just got to know that counterbalance with it, and it's been playing so long, you get to find that out.
So you guys did go to Tennessee a few weeks ago. So what was that like, and what do you guys think you can improve on going into later in the year?
Tennessee was a great experience. It was very warm weather compared to here. I think we can definitely improve on our defensive side because we had one game where it wasn't very clean, and we cleaned up our act in two other games, but if we just clean up our defense and work on that, then we'll be good from there.
Yeah, from this offseason, we thought defense was going to be our strong suit, and we really, towards the offseason, really focused on hitting, and it seemed to be almost the not complete opposite, but close to it. Like, one game, we struggled really defensively, but our bats were there 1-9, all seven innings, and ended up winning that game. And we went 2-1 in Tennessee, and it was a really good experience just being with the team every day, all day. It was, I think that team chemistry only gets better from things like that.
So you guys, when this is being recorded, we're supposed to play LaPel Wednesday, but it did get canceled due to the weather. So what do you guys expect from LaPel for County?
We obviously expect LaPel to have good pitching. You know, they're supposed to pitch Kai Newman, and we know Kai decent. He's a good pitcher. They have a lot of, like, just good pitchers in their arsenal and their dugout, and they're going to come out swinging, and we got to know that, and they're going to talk their game, and we just got to combat with it.
Yeah, and after last year, we played them twice, and we know who they got, and our coaches do a really good job of trying to do everything they can to get us prepared. Like, at practice on Tuesday, we did things based off of what we thought Kai was going to do, and we just do everything we can to try to be there for game day, come out swinging 1-9, and then play solid defense, and we should have a good shot.
So you guys are now multiple games into the season. So how much different is it without that big senior class from last year?
You know, it makes our juniors have to step up a lot, and we have a leadership committee, so it kind of regulates that, and everybody kind of plays their role in, like, taking accountability of each other. And I don't know, I just think that the juniors had to take a big step up, and we're doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, and being sophomores last year, it's just like you were there, had the seniors there to lead everything, and now all of them are gone. It's like the juniors were here, and all of us have a role that we want to achieve together.
So how much of the mental part is baseball as to the physical?
The mental part, it's very tough. You have to deal with failure a lot in baseball. And physically, you know, you have to be able to play all seven innings. You know, you have to be able to react to a ball, because you're not going to get a ball every single game. You're not promised, like, to get a ball. So you just have to be ready every single play, be heads up. And I think mentally, it's definitely a difficult game.
Yeah, and the mental side of it, I think our team, we do a really good job of it. We got a lot of guys that like to talk to each other and keep each other in the game. And, like, Saturday, we had a tough first game against Yorktown, took the 30-minute break we had, reset, and then came out swinging the second game and put it on them early and quick and came out with a win there. And the physical part is, like what B said, it's seven innings. And if you're playing, you're out there seven innings, you got to be able to stay locked in. And then when you do get a chance to make a play or dive for a ball or whatever it is, be able to be physical about it and go make the play for your pitcher so they don't have to keep throwing pitches.
So before every game, what is your guys' pregame routine?
So I'm big on long toss. So I long toss basically, like, as far as I can each time. And it just kind of preps my body and my lower half into getting into each throw, and I can loosen up my arm.
Yeah, and then we normally throw as a team, and then after that we do pregame as a team, and then the opposing team will do it as well. But, like, while the other team's doing it or before we do our pregame, me and another outfielder, Cade Brown, do, like, our outfield routine together. It's like a couple ground balls, a couple fly balls, and just trying to get your body ready for when you're actually on the field and do it and just translate it over.
Are you guys looking forward to play any games this year?
I want to play Mount Vernon because, you know, they have really good pitchers and everything. And, you know, they got Jack Piney up to 91 now. And they have a lot of 90 guys in their pitching arsenal. And I'm excited to see them. And I'm excited to face them. You know, they're a pretty good team. But, you know, I think we could split with them at least. And I don't know. I really want to play them.
Yeah, and I'll say Shelbyville. It's next week, depending on weather, of course. But they have Aiden Smith, which is a pretty decent pitcher they got. And we faced them last year and did decent, and I think overall better 1-9 this year is going to give us the chance to have every at-bat count against them, and there's not a guarantee out in our lineup. I think then that's what the team needs is be able to go up there one through nine, someone that's on swing the bat, and put a good at-bat together and hopefully get the pitcher out of it and then make them go to their bullpen, and whatever happens, happens.
So that'll do it for this segment of the ASN Coach Show. This is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton, providing daily specials, eat-in, and carry-out options from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. That's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Offering a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, and more. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. That's twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton. They've been serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838. House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC, located at 526 North Pendleton Avenue in Pendleton. Dr. Foley and the staff of Regenerative Health and Wellness offer services in the area of weight loss, hormone balance, autoimmune issues, and more. Information about Regenerative Health and Wellness is available at 317-903-1791. Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. I'm Dawson Parrell. I'm joined here by the head coach for the baseball team here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Vosburgh. Jumping right in here, Coach, you had two games this past week, both of which county matchups. The first one was against LaPel on the 10th, then Anderson. Now, of course, this is a part of the Nick Mullins tournament or the county tournament. You won both of them. You're still alive. You're going to be playing in that championship game. Not scheduled, but it's going to be somewhere along the line in the season. But taking a quick recap on these first two games, of course, got through LaPel, a very tough team, 5-2, and then you beat Anderson 9-2. So a pretty successful week in both of those games. Overall, what would you say you saw out of your boys in those two?
Yeah, I mean, Friday night, we were kind of, you know, in limbo pretty much the whole week in terms of when we would face LaPel. We drew the bye in that tournament, and so I had a chance to go watch LaPel, Frankton play. I believe that was Tuesday night. Just to get a sense as to what those teams would bring to the table. LaPel graduated a number of guys last year. Owen Immel, who had given us a number of issues over the last couple of years, had graduated. Isaac Baer, their catcher, had graduated. And so I wanted to see a little bit of what they had coming back. And we knew they had their number two from last year coming back, Kai Newman, another really tough lefty. He's going to Huntington for a reason. You know, he's just a really solid pitcher, knows how to command the zone, has commanded multiple pitches. Tough from the left side, about mid-80s. And so we knew we would see him more than likely. We just didn't know when because, you know, the weather continued to back things up. We actually drove all the way to LaPel Wednesday night, attempted to start that game, and came to the conclusion that that wouldn't really be the best, be in the best interest of both teams. We wanted to make sure that we had a good game. We didn't want a game that was going to be dictated by the weather. And so we were able to delay that and then get up to Oak Hill Friday night for a 7:30 start and get LaPel in. And, you know, the one thing that we showed was a lot of resolve in that game. You know, we were down, we got up 1-0. They scored 2 to take a lead 2-1. And that score held all the way to the 7th inning. We were able to finally push out Newman. He got up over 110 pitches. And so that we finally got him out of the game. And once that happened, we were able to kind of make a few things happen offensively. But unfortunately for us throughout that game, and it's something we're going to be working on today, was, you know, our two strike hitting was really, really poor that game. We had opportunities We didn't give ourselves enough opportunities on the bases. We struck out 17 times. And if you look at the, a number of outs in a baseball game, you're given a team has to make 21 outs in some way or another. And so we didn't put enough pressure on their defense. We went down too easily too many times, looked at strike three. We didn't give ourselves enough opportunities in that game to really set an offensive standard that we want. And so that's going to be a major focus for us as we get ready to practice this week, because we're going to see a number of really solid pitchers as we enter into the conference season. Guys like Kai Newman, guys that can bring the velo a little bit and command an off-speed pitch. And we've got to be tougher at the plate to make something happen defensively. We can't just give them 17 outs at the plate. We have to make them earn those outs defensively. So, but at the same time, you're always happy with a win, especially a come-from-behind win, a team win that's going to hopefully show that no matter what the situation is in a game, we still have an opportunity to win if we just play our game the right way.
Yeah, and taking a deeper look at that lapel game, you saw Colton Frank, the junior, at the mound. He had 5 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, did allow 3 hits and 2 runs, but overall pretty nice game from the mound for the junior, Colton Frank. And you mentioned in a previous interview he's kind of the guy heading forward for that pitcher spot. So overall, after these first couple weeks, what would you say you saw out of Colton Frank and knowing his expectations heading into the year?
Yeah, Colton's just a bulldog of a guy. He's had experience at the quarterback position in football. He's a leader. He shows a lot of resolve on the mound, and he's a competitor. And not to mention, he's got stuff that he's got the stuff to be able to be a number one pitcher for a team. So we know that when Colton goes out there, and Colton's going to be in a tough spot too, because he's going to oftentimes be matched up with the other team's number one. And so, runs are going to be at a premium that day. And so he kind of understands that too. He understands that he's got to keep the opposing team to 3 or fewer runs. Our goal is to get to 4. If we can get to 4, we feel like we have a pitching staff that can hold guys to another team to under 4 runs. We don't have a staff that's going to blow guys away, that blow another lineup away. We're going to get a few strikeouts here and there, but we're going to have to rely on our defense to make plays behind our pitchers. We've really emphasized this offseason pitching to contact, keeping our pitch counts down. The strikeouts are great, but the downside to strikeouts is that you're going to elevate your pitch count. We're searching for first pitch outs because we want our guys to go deep into games as a pitching staff. Colton has shown the ability to get to 5 or 6 innings in almost every start that he's had this year, and that's a testament to his staying in the zone, keeping walks to a minimum, and also having the stuff to last that deep into games. The thing with the starter is you're going to see a guy in the lineup 2 or 3 times. And so the more that a guy sees an opposing pitcher, obviously the advantage starts to shift to the hitters, because they've seen that guy. They know, they've timed him up. They've seen what kind of stuff he has. As a starter, you have to have the ability to mix up how you attack guys, starting guys off with fastballs and 1 at bats, but then having the confidence to come back, start guys off with off speed in the 2nd at bat to keep them off balance. And so Colton has command over multiple pitches where he can do that, and that's what he showed in lapel and gave us a chance to win that game.
Yeah, and then taking a look at another really strong pitching performance from this past week. It was in the Anderson win. We saw another junior, Braden Stevenson. He hit double digits for strikeouts with 10, and overall a great team win in that Anderson matchup as well. So specifically with Braden Stevenson, but also the team as a whole, that second win, getting 2 in a row. When did you see in that Anderson game?
Yeah, B is a guy that obviously is a primary catcher for us, and so we have to pick his starts very carefully. Saturday proved to be a perfect opportunity for him to get the start because it gave him a few days of rest before conference here tomorrow. So he was able to throw on Saturday, rest up Saturday night, Sunday, today, and then he should be ready to go and get behind the plate tomorrow for a conference game. And so we have to be very specific about when we pick and choose for his starts. But we really have want to see that investment made in him on the mound, because we feel like there's a lot of potential there. It's something that he's not worked on religiously over his baseball career. He's been primarily focused on becoming the best catcher that he can be. But his frame, his body has built himself into a prototypical pitcher's mold. And so we feel like there's a lot of potential. He's got the velo that could end up being next level stuff. He's got command of a secondary pitch, a really nice breaking ball that he's it's a fast, hard breaking ball that really freezes guys. I don't think anybody on Saturday touched his breaking ball one time. And that leads to those strikeouts that you saw, the strikeout numbers. And then he also has the velo to keep guys uncomfortable in the box. And so really where Braden's where his next level is going to be is minimizing the walks, again, so that he can get deeper into games, because his stuff is so electric that it is tough to hit. And so he's going to find a lot of strikeouts, which means that his pitch count's going to be elevated typically. And so I think he only got through four innings, I think, on Saturday, maybe five. I'm checking here. Yeah, four innings. But it took him almost 80 pitches to get through those four innings because of the high strikeout totals, and because he's not we've not really extended him too much, and he is our primary catcher. We want to really be careful with his pitch count as we, work to come back. But no, he did exactly what we needed to out of him on Saturday. We knew that we felt that was a good matchup. B stuff, we felt, would overpower Anderson. And as long as he stayed in the zone, which for the most part that he did, 10 strikeouts to four walks. He averaged about one an inning at that point. So, as long as he was able to stay in the zone, he was going to give us what we needed from him on Saturday.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, this upcoming week, you have a pair of conference games. The first will be tomorrow at Shelbyville, and then the next day will be at home against Shelbyville. So a doubleheader in a sectional matchup can always be tough, especially against a talented team like Shelbyville. So how do you think you want to tackle these two games in order to come out of these two matchups 2-0?
Yeah, Shelbyville is going to be a really tough matchup for us. They're under new leadership this year, so I've not actually met their new head coach. Their previous coach, Royce Carlton, ended up having an opportunity to move to Florida to pursue professional baseball coaching in a pitching coach capacity at one of the lower levels of Florida Marlins, I believe, their organization. So we would assume that maybe one of their assistants ended up taking over, but that happened so late. I've not actually met the new head coach there, so I'm not quite sure how he handles business, how he likes to call a game. But what we do know is that they have Aiden Smith coming back, who is a sophomore, pretty much a phenom in terms of his ability on the mound. He's already touching low 90s as a sophomore. He beat us last year in a tight, I think it was like 3-2 game last year. He's a guy that we're excited to face, because we want to tackle our tough opponents, because that we know that that makes us a better team long term, prepares us for a postseason run. So we're excited about the opportunity to go up against Aiden Smith. The only question mark is really going to be the weather again, because the weather played a huge role in the conference makeups last week. Thankfully, we didn't have conference, and so we didn't have to manipulate our rotation much. But our other conference opponents, as they were trying to get games in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday last week, just didn't happen. And so a lot of those guys ended up playing, the Mount Vernons, the Yorktowns, the New Pals. They were all playing on Saturday. And so it'll be interesting to see how they align their rotations for this week based on the weather from last week. And so we're not exactly 100% sure when we'll see Aiden Smith. We just know we'll see him at some point during that two-game set.
All right. With that being said, that'll do it for our segment here with Coach Vosburgh. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM is underwritten by Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900 or on site at 113 South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdanawright.com. Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, providing independent and assisted living, rehabilitation, long-term care, memory support, and more. More information is available at 765-778-7501. Again, that's 765-778-7501. Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show, and I'm lucky to be sat down with a great athlete such as Gabe Martin. Now, he's a very good thrower for the track and field team and a very good right tackle for the football team. But Gabe, we're here to talk about track today with your throwing and discus skills. Starting us off, how has the season been so far?
The season's actually been really great. I had a really great start. There was a really good start. The first, second meet, actually, it was an indoor meet. I only threw shot, but I PR'd by like 4 feet, way surpassing what I threw last year. So I think I'm well on my way to getting the school record, beating the Harvey.
All right. And you speak of Andrew Harvey, obviously a very good thrower in the past. I heard yourself from yourself that you had a PR. What was that PR, and what all went out of that?
I think I threw 47.8. You know, I came into that meet. My coach was telling me that, hey, you're not going to do quite as good at this meet as you did last time. So there were like very low expectations for me. I was not expecting to do as well as I did. I actually won that meet by like an inch and a half. The guy behind me threw like 47.6. But yeah, it's 47.8.
All right. You also threw discus. And what goes into the discus to get prepared to a meet?
So in the form, it's really in the form of discus. It's obviously a heavy disc, but the form is so important. You know, just one little tweak in your form is going to add 10 or 15 feet, which is why it's also, I'd say it's a lot more difficult than shot. Being a good discus thrower is a lot more difficult. So good shot put throwers are usually the really big guys because it's a lot more strength than shot, but you can be a really tiny and skinny guy and throw some really good discs.
All right. What meet has been the most fun so far for you and why?
Well, we've only had about three or four meets, and I think the indoor meet where I PR'd and shot was definitely my favorite. There's a lot of hype. I was really happy. My coach said if I did really well that meet, 345 or over, which I surpassed by 2 feet, he'd buy me some dinner.
So what'd you get?
I got a pizza and a Pepsi from the concession stand.
Stud. All right. So what meet are you looking forward to this season?
We got County tonight. That's my favorite meet of the year. It's the longest meet, but there's usually a lot of good people, like a good athletes, not necessarily in throwing. I think I'm going to win tonight. But like pole vaulters, there's some really good pole vaulters and runners. So I'm excited to watch them when I get done with throwing.
All right. And speaking of when you get done throwing, what do you guys do when you get done throwing?
Usually me and Blake Strauss, we're the two varsity throwers this year. We usually just wander around and like talk to girls and stuff.
Ooh. What is your current PRs for discus? You've mentioned shot put 47.8. What is the discus looking like?
Discus is about 137 feet. I don't know the exact inches, but I got that at the first outdoor meet.
All right. And what is your favorite track memory, Gabe?
Favorite memory? I'd have to say when me and Reese Snep ran the heavy 100 at the Noblesville relays. So it was just a 100-meter dash, but all the big boys did it. So it was really funny to watch and fun to run.
All right. I ran track last year, Gabe. You know that. Obviously, I do not run it anymore. Still doing this Weem stuff. But I do remember the Fat Men Relay at Frankton last year. You ran it. And the baton was a Snickers bar. It was a 4x1. And I believe Reese Schnepp, is that who it was, had it gobbled that thing down?
Yeah, at the very end of it.
He was trying to get that thing finished down. But did we end up winning or no?
I think we just barely lost because the other guy could like set that thing down a little better.
All right. Well, on to our last question here, Gabe. What's your favorite thing about the big meets you guys have?
The big meets, I really enjoy them. I like them a lot because the bigger meets usually have bigger schools that go to them, and the bigger schools have better throwers. So there's a lot for me to learn from watching the bigger schools, and they're better throwers. You know, they have better form than me. They're stronger than me. So I can learn a lot from them.
All right. Now, just a tad bit of a follow-up question. What kind of big meets do you guys go to?
So there's two different kind of big meets. There's, you know, there's big meets where we're the biggest school there, and there's a lot of tiny schools. Like County, for example, I think we're the biggest school at County. And the indoor meets we go to, we're also the biggest school there. But we do meets at like Pike or Noblesville, and we're probably the smallest school there because,
All right, well, we mentioned Reese Schnepp just a tad bit earlier. Yeah. And what kind of mentorship or leadership has he brought to you before he sadly went on?
Yeah, well, he did have to move away. He graduated early. My freshman year, it was both our first years throwing, and we were both going through the experience together, but he was kind of mentor in early. He was older than me, so he kind of taught me the ropes of high school. You know, I played football with him, and he was just a really good pal.
All right, and on to our last question now. I said it for our last one, but I decided I still have more questions to ask. So our last question here, what kind of coach has brought you this far, and what does that coach mean to you?
Well, Coach Harvey, he's obviously Andrew Harvey's dad. So his son, Coach Harvey's son, is the one that has the school records, the ones that I'm trying to beat. So I think he's kind of coaching me like I'm a son. He's trying to get me to beat those records. He wants me to be the best that I can be. He was a really good thrower himself. I think he held the school records at Pendleton for a little bit. But you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to coach, and I really appreciate him coming back.
All right, and that is all we have for you, Gabe. Thanks for coming on. Keep doing great things, and that's it for We in This Segment on 91.7 WEEM.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What makes education-based athletics in Indiana different from other youth sports programs?
Our coaches genuinely care about their student-athletes as people, not just as athletes. And their top priority is teaching and mentoring, not winning and losing.
Our student-athletes play for the love of the game. They have pride in their school and community. They want to represent something bigger than themselves.
Our parents and fans know the student-athletes on the team. They've seen them grow up and care about them. They paint their faces, pack the stands, and cheer loud and proud. I'm Robert Falkins.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. High school sports in Indiana couldn't be more different from other youth sports programs.
And we wouldn't have it any other way. Be a champion of high school sports and buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is passion you won't find anywhere else. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM, we welcome you back here to the ASN Coaches Show. I am Zion Palmieri, joined here with
Lucas Williams.
And Lucas, we've had a very great coaches show so far. Like we've said before, it's kind of a broken record type statement, but a lot of exciting things happening. A lot of moving parts here at Pendleton Heights. Baseball's in full swing now. It's still technically, I guess, the start of the season, but both baseball and softball are in full swing. Track, I got a lot of friends in track. They're practicing every day. Can't, like, talk to any of them because they're practicing so much. So they're in full swing of things, too. But looking closer into the date sort of thing in their next few games, what are the games for softball?
All right, so taking a look at the softball, on the 15th on Monday, which is actually when this is going to be aired, the Rabians are going to be playing against Anderson. On the 16th, the following day, they're going to be playing against Delta, and the following day after that, they are playing against Carmel, which is a very big school to be playing against.
Yeah, looking at the times for those, Anderson, which should be around this time, the time this airs, will be at 5:30, and then Tuesday at Delta, or excuse me, versus Delta, will be at 6 o'clock, and then the at Carmel on the 17th will be also at 6 o'clock. So a lot of night games. Most of these games are weekdays. So a lot of these players, I mean, they're student athletes. And I know it's a very big thing to put student first, so that's got to be difficult on them. I mean, they're practicing every day. I mean, you got to get tired at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, looking back at basketball season, where we'd have to go all throughout school, and then you have to be back at the school by, what, 3:15?
Yeah.
And if it's an away game, you don't get home until
11:30.
Yeah. I mean,
some of those games, and I mean, you just hope something, like, everything goes smoothly. Remember one time we had that bus issue?
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
you just hope everything goes smoothly. So, I mean, a lot of these teams, they don't have a lot of time, but in that time, they get their work done, and they do it well. I mean, they're obviously winning, so you got to assume that. But looking at baseball now instead of softball, what are the dates for those games?
So, on the 16th and 17th, they're both playing Shelbyville, and that is at 5:30. And then the following game after that is on the 19th, which is Lawrence Central at Lawrence Central at 6 p.m.
Yeah, so, I mean, both of those are pretty far away. I know two of those, one of the Shelbyville games away, one of them home. But also something to look at those games. So, I mean, we're talking about the endurance here. The players, they got a lot on their plate. At Shelbyville, it's far away. That's on a weekday. The following day, versus Shelbyville, I know that's at home, but you're playing 2 days in a row. You get one day of break, and then you're going all the way to Lawrence North. that's got to take it out of you at some point.
Yeah, I mean, playing these back-to-back games, and you got to go all the way home,
mm-hmm.
or no, you got to go all the way away,
yeah,
and then come back, and then you have to wake up early, go through 7 hours of school,
mm-hmm.
and then you're right back out there.
Yeah, that's a lot. So those were, I mean, baseball and softball scores, schedules, but looking further, tennis and track and field, they got a lot of stuff going up too, so what about those?
Yeah, so looking at tennis, on the 19th, they're playing against also Shelbyville High School. However, this one is home, and this is at 5 p.m. And also at track and field, this is girls varsity at Pike away, and that is on the 20th at 10 a.m. That is what sucks about those track meets is they are early.
Oof, yeah, I mean, those people are gone for a while. That's, I mean, looking, though, at Shelbyville, I mean, we're playing a lot of Shelbyville. There's a lot of county games and in conference games, so there's a little more stakes there, a little more rivalry, I'd say. But I'm going to give my little advisory. Check the weather.
Oh, yeah.
Check the weather.
Definitely.
I know this is a bit advanced, but check the weather. Make sure these games are still happening. Keep updated. It's not that hard.
Yeah, you want to know how many times I'll see someone wearing a pair of shorts or something. It's like 40 degrees outside. It's raining.
Yeah.
You know, check the weather.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's like the first thing. I don't really do it anymore. I should, but that was like the first thing I did for a while when I woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my watch with the weather on it.
Oh, yeah. Great. Lucas is locked in here.
I always, 24/7.
Well, that's all. That's going to do it all for today's Coach's Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Zion Palmieri here with
Lucas Williams.
And stay tuned for next week at the same time on the ASN Coach's Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.